2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 8, 9, 10, and 11. So the Apostle Paul is writing to the church in Corinth, and he's informing them. He wants to make sure that this body of believers understands that Paul and his group of ministers have really, really been going through it, that they have been through some extremely painful trials and tribulations. The Apostle Paul wants these guys to understand that this Christian journey that we're on, this road that we're on, this walk that we're on, is not an easy road. That we will have trials and tribulations, but what Satan means for evil, God wants to bring something beautiful out of it. And God, the Apostle Paul, he's not bragging about all the mess that he's had to go through for the Christian people. He's not trying to get pats on the back. But he wants these guys to understand, man, that this is not the easy road. There's much tribulation, much persecution when you decide to follow Jesus Christ. Some of you guys can relate to this, that when you really decide that you want to dig in, that you want to wholeheartedly serve the Lord, that such opposition arises from places you never would expect it. You know, and as you dig deeper and get more committed to following the Lord, Satan does not back off. Now, it's important that we do not give him a foothold in our life. It's important that we understand that we have a real adversary that comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Amen. And he will stop at nothing. But we got to make sure that we don't give him any room in our life. Amen.
Amen.
I'm talking about when scripture says, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Don't give him a way in. Amen.
Amen.
So Satan's busy. The Apostle Paul's making this point to the Corinthian believers. This road ain't the easy road, but it's the road that leads to eternal life. So let's read this text. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death. But that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted to us through prayer, through the prayers of many. Let's pray. Let's go to slide 2 and let's pray. Father God, thank you for your anointing. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, you have your way in this service. Thank you that our eyes, our ears, our hearts are open to receive the message that needs to be given will be given, Lord. And thank you, Father God, that you're changing lives, that you're healing us, that you're doing a mighty work in this body. And we just love you and praise you in the mighty, wonderful, precious name of Jesus Christ. Everybody, church building said,
amen.
Give the Lord some praise, everybody. So God is good. Let's break apart these 4 verses. We got 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 8. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. So we just read these verses, and if you'll notice, the Apostle Paul doesn't go into great detail about what has happened to him. What we do know is it happened in Asia. We do know that it was when he was ministering, but we don't know the details of it. And the Apostle Paul had so many near-death experiences in his time of ministry, we can't really pinpoint exactly what he's talking about. But what we do know is it was a severe time of persecution and affliction, because he will give us some details about how it affected him as he was going through this. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the affliction we experienced in Asia. So Paul, the apostle, wants everybody to know in the church in Corinth what he has went through, that, hey, I've really been going through it, fellas. I've really been going through it, guys. Not just the church in Corinth, but he wants us to learn and glean from this today as well. So one of the questions that arises, why? Why does the Apostle Paul want us to know? Like I said a minute ago, it's not because he was bragging about how awesome he is, about how he won't give up. He's not doing that. If anything, well, actually, he is bragging on God. He's bragging about how awesome his God is. And we're going to see that in the text today. But he really wants the Corinthian believers to understand this, that the Christian road is a hard road. And so everybody knows this, whether you're a believer or not, you're going to have hard times in this life. There's going to be storms in your life. Mama said there'd be days like this, and to everybody's life, a little bit of rain must fall. We get it. We understand that. But the point that the Apostle Paul is making to us and to the Corinthian church is when believers go through a trial, a storm, they should deal with it differently. We don't have to deal with it the way the world deals with it, because we have a friend that sticks closer to us than a brother.
Yes.
Do you hear what I just said? We have a friend. We have a creator that says, I love you so much, and I want you to be aware of this, that when you accepted my son as your Lord and Savior, you really, really became an enemy of Satan. Yeah. What I mean by that is Satan can no longer satisfy you with baby rattles and pots and pans. It's not just about distracting you anymore with all the shiny stuff this world has to offer. You just became a real enemy of the enemy of your soul. And he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he wants to throw anything and everything he has at his disposal to try and distract you and discourage you. That's what we got going on here. So the Apostle Paul wants these guys to know that this is how the Christian life is. You're going to have troubles no matter what side of the fence you're on. But God wants to use these afflictions, these troubles, these trials, these tribulations to do something amazing in you and through you and for you. He won't waste any of our tears. Let that be an encouragement to you guys. He's not into wasting any of your tears. He wants to take what we've been through, what we've caused ourselves from being selfish or just being dumb. He wants to take what's just happened to us because of the world we live in. He wants to take it, and he wants to make something beautiful come out of that. That's the God that we serve. So he never promises that we won't have trials and tribulations. He makes that point very, very clear. You're going to have hard times, but the believer, but those here, right here at Victory Life Church, we don't have to deal with it the way the unbeliever deals with it. Not that you're any better than somebody that's not a believer, but you do have this. You have this precious relationship with the creator of the universe. And he says, I will hold your hand through this. Let that be an encouragement. Okay, so Acts 14 and 22, the Apostle Paul's shaking these guys up a little bit in Corinth. Ain't the easy road. Look at your neighbor and say, this ain't the easy road.
This ain't the easy road.
Ain't the easy road. So Acts 14 and 22, this is a familiar verse over the last couple of weeks of us talking about this subject of, trials, storms, tribulations. Acts 14, 22. This is also the Apostle Paul. He's about to say something very, 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 very interesting. But to kind of set this up a little bit, in Acts 14, the verse we're about to read, Paul the Apostle just got beaten so bad. He just faced such severe opposition. They stoned this man of God so severely that they thought he was dead. He was left for dead. So he knows a little bit about suffering for the cause of Christ. The man, the Apostle Paul, dusts himself off, rounds up the believers, and he tells them this right here concerning suffering as a Christian. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith. He's saying, guys, you know what? Sometimes people ain't going to like you. Sometimes people are going to hate your guts. Sometimes people will think the Lord will be better off if you do not exist. Because you are, as a Christian, you are a constant reminder that there is a God. And you're not the boss. And there will be a time of judgment. And people don't want to deal with that. People don't want to hear about that. So they want to make you disappear. The Apostle Paul says, look, man, you may have to give up your life for being a Christian. You might just have to do that. Through much tribulation. It's part of being a believer. He's saying this is how the Christian thing works, man. And if everything's just peachy and perfect and roses, then you need to check yourself before you wreck yourself. Right? He's saying, if you ain't going through it every now and again, then Satan might just have you over in the corner playing with pots and pans and baby rattles, and you ain't causing him no headache, so he ain't worried about you. But the Lord says that he chastens those he loves. So he will bring that maturing fire into our life because he loves us. And he says all his sons and daughters are going to get it. They're going to go through that. Just like any parent is going to bring correction in their children's life. Why? Because he's a jerk? No, because he loves his kids. He loves his kids. So here's God saying, look, I'm the perfect father. And I will allow you to go through the furnace. Yes. Matter of fact, I will make sure you go through the furnace sometimes. Because sometimes we get kind of complacent. And we don't want to grow. We can get content with where we're at in our relationship. So sometimes God will actually push us closer to that fire. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Acts 14:22. This is the Apostle Paul. Dude just got left for dead. A lot of people, a lot of historians think this is when the Apostle Paul had his vision of heaven. Like he actually did die during this stoning. And all the believers gathered around and prayed over him. And Paul's enjoying his first moments in heaven, getting a good look around. And Jesus Christ comes up to him and says, hey, Paul, how you like to play? Say, did you take this out? I got good news and bad news for you, Paul. Good news is you're here. You made it. It's the Apostle Paul knew he was going to make it. The bad news is suck it all in, man. Take a good look around, brother, because people are praying for you. You got to go back. You got to go back. You can only imagine the Apostle Paul saying, listen, Jesus, listen to me. Don't listen to those guys. Those guys are a bunch of sinners. Listen, let's just do this. Fact of the matter is, Scotty, the good Lord wasn't done with them yet. So he sends them back. But the Apostle Paul dusts himself off and goes and encourages the other believers, saying this is kind of par for the course, guys. This is what you go through when you dig your feet in and say, I want to serve the Lord with everything that I have. Strengthening the souls of the disciples, encouraging them to continue in the faith, and saying that through many tribulations, not just one, through many tribulations, we must enter the kingdom of God. That's the road we're on. That's the life you signed up for. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? Still in slide two, let me enjoy some of this delicious water. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the afflictions we experienced in Asia, for we were so utterly burdened. Listen to how the Apostle Paul describes what this man is going through, what he went through. This is, he's looking back on it, and he's sharing this with the Corinthian believers. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Like I said, we don't know much about what the situation actually is, but we know it was this immense burden. We know that it was life-threatening, and we know that the Apostle Paul knew that he could not fix this on his own, that this thing was way bigger than him, and it was looking pretty stinking hopeless in the natural. That's a big deal. Let me read this again. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. So Caleb, it wasn't just one or two people in the group of Paul and his entourage or Paul and his ministry team. It wasn't just a couple cats that were going through it. It was everybody. Everybody was in a low, low, scary situation. There wasn't that one person that was saying, hey man, it's going to be all right. So whatever this was, man, it was bad. It was very, very bad. It says right here, for we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength. The NLT, New Living Translation says, we were overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. This guy's being brutally honest. This is a big time preacher. This is a guy that has set up many, many churches. This is the guy that God has used to change countless lives. This is the guy that has seen miracle after miracle after miracle. But whatever's going on in his world right now, whatever he's talking about, this situation, he says, this is a burden we couldn't handle on our own. I scanned my resources. I looked around. There was nothing we could do to get out of this on our own. Desperate situation. And then it goes on to say that we despaired of life itself. We have this overwhelming burden that they did not have the ability to endure on their own. And then we have this, that we despaired of life itself. The New Living Translation says, and we thought we would never live through it. See what this guy is going, what he's going through? The weight, this burden that he had to carry. And it wasn't just him, it was his whole team. And it said that we despaired of life itself. Now, this man was pushed to his physical and emotional limit of the things that he could handle, man. He was overwhelmed. He says it in the text. He's being beautifully transparent, brutally truthful. No pride involved whatsoever in this, but he wants to be honest to the other believers and saying sometimes you will have trials, but sometimes you will go through the most severe thing you never thought that you'd ever have to experience. But you get blindsided sometimes by stuff. And you're like, man, I didn't see that coming, man. Maybe you should have, Polly, but you didn't. You know, but sometimes we go through stuff like this. It's overwhelming. Can't get out of it on your own. It's bigger than you. Guy said, the Apostle Paul said that he was in despair. To me, despair is a scary, scary word. Despair is not discouragement. Despair is when you let discouragement have its way with you. Despair is that sense of utter hopelessness. Despair is that sense of there's no way out of this for me. I don't like that word. I ain't never liked that word. But the Apostle Paul is trying to illustrate how bad this junk was that he was going through. He said, this burden was so immense. We couldn't endure it on our own. We didn't see a way out. Using our natural senses, didn't see any good outcome in this situation. We were in despair. Church people, listen to me now. If you listen to anything I say today, you cannot allow yourself to be in despair.
Amen.
You cannot allow yourself to get to the place of despair.
Amen.
Yeah.
You start thinking like that, you better reach out. You better reach up.
Yeah.
And grab a hold of the Most High God. Even when nothing makes sense. When there doesn't look like there's any way out of your situation. The point the Apostle Paul is trying to make, talking about all this suffering, one of the major points he's trying to make is, yeah, you're going to have it, but nothing is ever hopeless. Not for the believer. Doesn't matter what it looks like. Nothing is hopeless. So give the Lord some praise. Despair is a scary word. You cannot afford allowing yourself to get in that place. Like, shut up, Paul. It's not like I want to do this. This is what life has done to me. I'm telling you, man, reach out. Reach up to the Most High God. Grab a hold of him, because even though it may feel hopeless, it's not hopeless. That's the God we serve. Okay? What is impossible with man, because for Paul and his entourage, it's impossible with man. But what is impossible with man is completely possible with God. That's the God we serve. That is our Heavenly Father. Tell the truth, shame the devil. Psalm 11 in verse 3. This is David, King David. Psalm 11, verse 3, one of the many times when our hero of the Old Testament was really going through it. Psalm 11 and verse 3, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? You build your life, your hopes on the things of this world, making crumble and fall. That's just the truth of the matter. So I think the real question is, what is our foundation? What is our foundation? Because the wise man has to build his house on the rock. And sometimes God will kind of nudge you and say, what's your foundation on, man? What's your foundation on, my much-loved son? Because if you've been building on something else, because the rain's going to come. The rain will come. It's not an if. It's a when. The rains will come, and if you don't have a good foundation, that foundation is going to erode, and everything that you've built your life on is going to crumble to the ground. So your foundation has got to be the rock. You got to be that wise man. So to answer this question, if the foundations are destroyed, what can the righteous do? The righteous have got to make sure that their foundation is not in chariots and horses, that it's not in their insurance or their 401k, 14-9-1-8-2. It's not in their health or their prosperity or their family, but it's got to be the Most High God. Amen. Right? Amen. Look at Job 1 and 21. This is also familiar. I'm just gleaning from the fruit, man, that I've been digging on this. I'm going through it, man. Everybody knows that. I'm going through something. And so here's the deal, man. This is therapy for me to get into the Word of God instead of looking at the wind and the waves, but getting into the Word of God and listening to the Lord.
Yeah.
Listening to Him. Because when we open that book and we have a heart that says, God, I need you. I am. In the natural, I ain't doing real good right now, Lord. Got a burden that I can't endure on my own. But I know that you're there for me. And then he has all this nutrients for us. Look at Job 1 and 21. Now this guy's amazing. This guy is just, he's went through so much, man. Job chapter 1, we're still in the first chapter. And then this guy, he lost all his wealth. He's broke. He ain't got nothing. Financially, he is ruined. But not only that, all his children have just died. This isn't one day. This is before Satan is allowed to attack his physical health. But already at this point, he has lost so much. Most of us are parents in here. You can't even begin to fathom that type of pain. All of his babies gone. And Job said that was his worst fear. And now he's dealing with that. In the natural, it's a pretty tough burden. Can I get a witness?
Amen.
Job 1:21, and he said, that's what the man said. Oh, he's just putting on a strong face. No, he's not, man. This dude was tapped in to the Most High God. And man, if everything's great for you right now, I hope it is, but I know for a lot of you, you're going through it. Everything's going great for you. This is the time when you start feeding yourself the Word of God. You just start digging into it. You know what I mean? So when you're going through that furnace, God says, hey, your word you have stored in your heart. My word you have stored in your heart.
Yes.
My word is a lamp to your feet.
Yes.
Remember, yes. You've been going through this. We've been preparing each other for this day. You got what you need in your arsenal. Now pull it up and meditate on it, man, and get the glory. Give God the glory. You get the growth. Oh, Job 121. Check this out. And he said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked shall I return. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Nobody wants to say that. Nobody wants to think that. Nobody wants that to be their reality, right? But look at how this man looks at it. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. He said, my day started off pretty okay, pretty decent, you know, but my world has completely changed, far beyond what I ever could even ever imagine. And he said, but you know what, man? Blessed be the name of the Lord. He says, I don't got nothing in the natural except my old lady that's telling me to curse God and die. I love you, baby. He says, blessed be the name of the Lord. He says, I still got you. I got you. You're my foundation. And if I got that foundation, you can rebuild everything bigger and better than ever. How? I don't know. He does that.
Yes.
Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? All right, go to the next slide. You guys doing all right?
Yes.
Amen. Slide 3, if you're counting. We got 14 slides today, so I better pick up the pace. We don't. Settle down. We don't. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 9. I'm going to read 8 along with it, but we're going to chew on verse 9. For we do not want you to be unaware, brothers, of the afflictions we experienced in Asia. For we were so utterly burdened beyond our strength that we despaired of life itself. Verse 9. Indeed, we felt that we had received the sentence of death, but that was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God who raises the dead. Paul says, so we were so burdened. There was no way we could fix this on our own. We were in despair. And then he says, let me illustrate this for you guys. Let me enlighten you just a little bit. So it felt like we got the sentence of death. He says, imagine this, Corinthian church. You're just preaching the gospel. You're just spreading the word of God. You're just doing the mandate that God gave you. He changed your life. He set you free. And he called you to be his minister to the Gentiles. And you're just being obedient to what God told you to do. Now, we're going to fill in the blank with whatever you might be going through or whatever you might go through down the road. I am saying Job was innocent. I'm saying Paul the Apostle, completely. I'm not going to say that whatever I'm going through, I'm completely innocent. Because I'd be lying. A lot of times we go through stuff and we got a big hand to play in what we're going through. But even there, God says, we're going to bring something really good out of this.
Yes.
We're going to turn these ashes
yes, it is.
Into something beautiful.
Yeah.
But don't give up. Don't give up. Don't quit your day job. Keep serving the Lord, but we'll get to that in a second. He says, guys, check it out. It would be like if you got arrested by the local authorities and you were completely innocent. You've done no wrong. You were being obedient to the Lord. You were just serving the Lord. You get arrested, but not just to spend a night or two in jail. Maybe get roughed up a little bit. No, they march you in front of the judge. And you're like, okay, I know I'm innocent. I know I haven't done anything wrong. And the judge looks you up and down, and he looks at your compadres, And he says, I sentenced you guys to death. It's like, that's what it feels like, man. That's how this was in my life. At this moment, we felt like our gooses were cooked, man. There was no way out of this. We had the sentence of death, and we had done nothing wrong. It's like being on the deck of the Titanic on that one night, man, when there's nothing, you cannot see anything except for the stars, and maybe here and there a lamp from one of the sailors, but it is just dark. It's just dark. And you're shaking and you're shivering because it's cold, but not just because it's cold, but because your blood, your heart feels the anxiety of the moment. It's like you ever got pulled over and you're like, I don't need to be getting pulled over right now, man. This is not a good time to be getting pulled over. And the cop tells you to get out of the car and he says, why are you shaking, man? Like, I'm not shaking, man. It's like, you are shaking, man. It's like, I'm not shaking, man. On the deck of the Titanic. Can you imagine? This is kind of what Apostle Paul's trying to explain to these people. You can't see nothing, man. It's just dark, 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 dark. Still smell the ocean. But that big old monstrosity, that big old behemoth, mammoth monster boat ain't cutting through the ocean anymore, man. It's just the only motion now is it's slipping backwards, man. You're standing sideways now. You know? But it ain't quiet. It's not quiet because all the lifeboats are gone. And everybody just comes to the realization that there ain't no ship coming for you. Everybody's just screaming in terror. Because it wasn't just Paul. It wasn't just the Apostle Paul going through it. It was the whole group, man. Everybody had the sentence of death. Those people on that boat that night, they had the sentence of death. They're in the natural. There's no way out of it. There wasn't no boat coming to get them. Right? They had a couple more things to do, man. Get in that water and get hypothermia and die, or get in that water and drown. But one thing they had to understand is this is the last, my last day on this plane of existence. In the natural, without God, that is a hopeless situation. Whoopsie-daisies. I said all that to say, I think that's what the Apostle Paul's trying to do when he says, we got the sentence of death in this situation. He's trying to grab the Corinthian believers and saying, this junk is real, man. Life ain't always easy. And as a Christian, you will go through it. You will not only just have trials, but you will have those severe trials that'll knock the breath out of you. That'll blur your vision. That'll confuse you. Tell the truth, shame the devil, right? God is good. But I mean, so check this out. Been pretty hardcore with our first verses here. But look at this. Look what Paul says. Looking back on it, Patricia, looking back on this situation, this is what he says. He's got the privilege now of that which we are describing to be in the past tense. And he's looking back on it and he says, you know what? This thing that happened in Asia, where we had this sentence of death, this burden that we could not carry on our own, that we were in such despair, there was no way out, hopeless situation. He says, you know what, Scott? But this was to make us rely not on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead. You know what? Now that I think about it, Corinthian church, this is really what I want to get to, Corinthian believers. Not only will you go through some unfair, crazy, crazy, extremely beyond painful stuff, but sometimes God will actually put you in that position. Sometimes, you mean God will allow it? No, I mean, yes, he will allow it. What I'm saying, sometimes God will put you in that situation. So you learn that it's not in you. It's not in you. Because, man, you know what, man? There's a bunch of American folks out here, and we try and do what we can do, man. We get a problem, we try and fix it. Some of us, we don't even want to ask for help. We just want to take care of it. Sometimes God will put you in a situation to where you're like, I can't do it. There, I got no answers. There's nothing I can do to fix this mess. Not on my own. I don't have the ability within me. And the Apostle Paul said, God did that. God put us there to teach us to rely on Him.
Yes.
It's like when you're drowning in the ocean or something like that, man. You know, you might have all the confidence in the world 5 minutes before when you're splashing around. You know what I mean? But man, when you start drowning, guess what? You need to come to a place. You're going to come to a place of humility when you cry out for help. You're like, lifeguard, I need you. I didn't think I'd ever need you, but I need you. Because sometimes as Christians, we think we got it. We got it. But God will put us in a situation where we got to cry out for the lifeguard. Amen?
Yes.
All right, tell the truth, shame the devil.
Yes.
God is good.
Yes, He is. All the time.
Amen. To give you an example, I think the best example of this situation, because I know to some of us that kind of sounds a little bit weird, God will put you in a situation. God will put you in a situation that you can't handle on your own. Yes, He will. Yes, He will. Exodus 14 and verse 2. Best example I can think of just at the top of my head. We all know the story you learned in Sunday school. You know that the children of Israel, coming out of that 400 years of slavery, their pockets are bulging with jewelry from the Egyptians. They just got 400 years of back pay. I mean, they got loaded down with stuff. God said, hey, before you leave town, go talk to these Egyptians, man. They went and said bye-bye to the Egyptians, and the Egyptians were loading them down with all kinds of goodies. They leave, man. They're gone. Pharaoh and the boys get to talking. Well, things are going to be a little different around here, Bill. What do you mean by that, Joe? Well, I mean, we're going to have to hire some people to make our bricks now. We're going to have to start doing a lot of this manual labor ourselves. A little outdoor time, a little hard work never hurt nobody. What are you talking about? Man, I'm talking about we just let all the slaves go. Oh, so that means you expect me to make some bricks? What about you, Ned? What are you going to do? I'm not making no bricks. I'm way too important for that. No, man, someone's got to do all this heavy labor. Someone's got to do it. Pharaoh and the boys said, you know what? We done messed up. Let's go get those guys back. Massive army, dude. Chariots and horses. The elite. This is the big time world power of the day, man. These are the big boys on the block. They start, man, there's a huge massive cloud kicked up by these horses and warriors. And here goes the children of Israel. Best day ever. Man, I cannot believe this, and my daddy can see me now. You know, marching down the road, got your little girl's hand in your hand. You know, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. Everything's so good. God is good. God is good. Tell the truth, shame the devil. God is good all the time. That's what they're saying. So someone will say, God is good, and the people in the back say, all the time. And then that piece of God is good. Whatever that thing is, they were doing that. Whatever hell that goes, man. Someone's got to teach me that because I cannot do it. But anywho, I find it beyond interesting that God was leading them, Nita. God was leading them. God told them where to go. Exodus 14:2. God talking to Moses. Tell the people of Israel to turn back and encamp in front of Pi-Hahiroth. Probably not saying that right. Between Migdol and the sea, in front of Baal Zephon, you shall encamp facing it by the sea. That's the GPS. That's the directions. Don't go there. Go to the Red Sea. Go to the Red Sea. And you're going to see a fortress over here because it's at the border. When you see that fortress, you know you're getting close to the sea. He says, go to the sea. Well, that's a problem, man. Not talking about a stream, not even talking about a river, talking about the Red Sea, a sea. That's where God put them. So we cannot comfortably say God will not purposely put you in a painful situation sometimes. Because he will. But it's like what the Apostle Paul said, so we learn to rely on him. He'll put you in a situation that's bigger than you when you can't get out of it on your own. Even though you're so resourceful and you've fixed everything up to this point, God says, okay, well, I need to remedy that because I really need my children to learn to rely and trust in me no matter what. They're in this hopeless situation in the natural. And they didn't just wander up to it because the Pharaoh and the boys are like, man, these slaves are so dumb. They didn't know where they were going. Man, they are stuck now. They're easy pickings now. They got the fortress over here. They got the Red Sea over here and the army coming up on them now. It's going to be easy pickings, man. Ain't no one going to have to make no bricks. High five. Yep. But looky here. Here's the thing. Sister Dawn, here's the thing. Exodus 14:13. Still the Moses thing. Now these guys, man, these knuckleheads, the Israelites. Say knuckleheads, man. I get like this. I get like this, man. I don't like it, but tell the truth, shame or death. The Israelites, they see the enemy coming. They're like, let me get this straight, Moses. You took us out of Egypt. There wasn't enough graves in Egypt? Why'd you bring us out here for us to be slaughtered in the wilderness? They're grumbling and complaining. They're full of fear. They're ready to kill the man of God. And Moses says this. And Moses said to the people, fear not. Fear not. Shut your mouth for a second and fear not. Fear not. Stand firm. Stand firm. Don't make your foundation on Moses.
Yeah.
Stand firm on the rock.
Yeah.
Stand firm. Fear not. Stand firm and see the salvation of the Lord. See the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. I'm going to read that again. Salvation of the Lord. You can't do it on your own. Salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. This is a God thing. This ain't a Paul thing. This is a God thing. He puts you there to show you that he does the impossible, and you have to learn to rely on him when nothing looks like it's going to work out. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. Now think about that. He didn't just get them across the river out over to safety. I mean, he didn't just get them across the sea. He didn't just get them across the sea to safety on the other side. He didn't just part the Red Sea so they walk on dry ground. You realize if that ground wasn't dry, what a mess that would have been. They would have been on top of each other. They would have been stuck, and it would have just been impossible. He parted the Red Sea. They walked across on dry ground, and the Egyptians that had troubled them and their family for 400 years were no longer a problem. So God does the impossible, and God does more than enough, man.
Amen.
And we can look at our situation like, man, if I can just get to this place, man, easy. If I could just get over here, you know, a little bit of peace. God, can you do that? I says, you're in this situation. But it ain't hopeless. And I'm going to show myself so strong to you. I'm the God of more than enough. Hope everybody's all right back there. Let's go to the next slide. I think they found those Chinese throwing stars. You got them, Sister Claudia. They're learning about the great ninjas of the Bible right now. What's wrong with him? Okay, so slide four. We're almost done. He delivered us from such a deadly peril, and he will deliver us on him. We have set our hope that he will deliver us again. God saved us out of this crazy situation. Remember, he said, our God who raises the dead. The Apostle Paul, before that, he said we had the sentence of death. He's like, that's how this thing happened for us. We felt like we were as good as dead. We felt like we might as well be dead. But our God, who we belong to, our God who loves me, our God who was faithful to me, did a resurrection, man. I was as good as dead. And he took something that was doomed and completely delivered us. That's the God we serve, man. When you can't see how you're going to get through it, man, I'm telling you, we got to grab a hold on God. We got to grab a hold to God and not let go. Right? Okay. It says, on him, on God, we have set our hope. Let's let the great prophet Jeremiah weigh in on this. Jeremiah 17, 7, 8. Listen to this good advice. Because the Apostle Paul said, I'm putting my hope in God. Proverbs says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Don't lean on your own understanding. Jeremiah says, blessed. Blessed is the man. Happy is the man. The opposite of stressed out, anxious, discouraged. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord. Who trusts in the Lord. Whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green and is not anxious in the year of drought. Jeremiah says, the man who puts his trust in the Lord is like a tree that has all the nutrients it needs. It doesn't get stressed out in the time of drought. It doesn't get anxious when it's awful hot outside, when all the other trees that aren't tapped into the living water can be scared and stressed out. Because like I said, man, the believer handles the crisis differently. Yeah. The believer should handle the crisis differently because we have a friend that sticks closer to you than a brother. You know what I mean? Yeah. That's assuming that you have a brother, a blood relative, those blood relatives that are supposed to be there for you no matter what, how popular or how right or wrong you are, that are supposed to be there. He's like, yeah, if you got one of those, great. But if you don't got one of those, you got a friend. Amen. That sticks way closer than that, man. Well, he's my Lord. Yeah, he is our Lord. Yes. He's my Savior. Yeah, he is my Savior. But he says, right now, I want you to understand that I'm all those things. But I'm your friend, man. I'm your friend right now. When you feel like you ain't got a friend or you don't know how you can talk to anybody about whatever you're going through, you don't burn somebody or you just don't feel like they'll get it or whatever. God says, I'm here, man. I'm your friend. Tell me what's going on. All right. Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He is like a tree planted by water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when heat comes, for its leaves remain green. Even in that crazy time, and his leaves remain green. And is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit. I don't think we should just skip over that part. God wants us to keep bearing fruit, Scotty.
Yeah.
God wants us to keep being productive for the kingdom, no matter what's going on.
Yeah,
and there's this amazing, weird thing, man. And we've lived it. Some of us have lived it to where when you go out and you say, let me sow into somebody's life. Let me go encourage this person that's really going through it. And you're hurting really bad, whatever it might be. But I'm telling you, man, God has set this thing up. He says, when you're about my business, I'll be about your business.
Yeah.
Don't quit your day job. You just keep serving me. I don't have the strength in me. I strengthen the weary. I increase the power of the weak. So stop trying to do it on your own. That's why you're in the impossible situation. So you can learn that, knucklehead.
Amen.
Hello, McFly. You ain't got it in you.
Amen.
Right? Tell the truth. On him we have set our hope that he will deliver us again. Okay, so here's the thing, James. Here's the thing. He's looking back on this stuff. He said, you know, God did something amazing. I can feel the X-Man's breath on the back of my neck, dude. But God delivered me.
Yeah.
God got me out of that. When I felt like any second, man, it was all going to go black. felt like I was on the Titanic. But he said, God delivered me. And he said, you know what? Corinthians, you need to understand this, that I don't know what's waiting for me in the next town or the next town or the next town, but I know there's going to be opposition. I know because I'm not going to stop serving the Lord, because the Apostle Paul had this motto, to live is Christ, to die is gain. As long as I'm alive, I'm serving Jesus.
Yeah.
He's done too much for me, man. I'm not wasting my time. Yeah. However much time I have, I'm serving the Lord. And he said, to live is Christ, to die is gain. So my job is to serve the Lord. But when I die, when these knuckleheads hit me with the rock in the right place at the right time, or somebody cuts off my head, to die is gain.
Yep.
I'm going to heaven, baby. I got nothing to worry about. So he was able to live this fearless life, Ashley. This fearless life, knowing my God's in control. He does the impossible. And when he's ready for me to come get my reward, he'll just grab me and take me home. And it's going to be better than I can imagine. So he says, I know that there's troubles are brewing down the way, because that's how this thing works. I'm going to tell people about Jesus, and then there's going to be opposition. I don't know if they're going to flog me. I don't know if they're going to stone me. I don't know if it's going to cause a riot. People are going to try and rip my arms off me. But I know the same God that delivered me out of that completely crazy, unbearable, hopeless situation is going to get me through whatever's waiting for me down the road. Because he is faithful, faithful, faithful.
Yeah.
He was faithful to me in the past, and he's going to be faithful to me in the future. And that's how we got to live our life, because yes, it does get hard. Yes, it does get unbearable. Yes, we will have to go through stuff, man, that we don't like. Right? Psalm 37:3, trust in the Lord and do good. Trust in the Lord and do good. Sometimes when we ain't doing, sometimes when we are going through it, we can stop doing good. Remember, God says, I need you to bear fruit. I want you to be productive. And when somebody's done us wrong, you know, that's how we feel, you know. Maybe we did somebody wrong. Maybe it's a little bit of both. I don't know. But sometimes, man, we can say, no, I'm not going to do good. Not now. So God says, no, you need to do good. You need to do good. You need to do the right thing here. You also must, okay, hold on. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and befriend faithfulness. Get your nutrients from the faithfulness of God. Feed on his faithfulness, that's what it's saying. Feed on his faithfulness. The Apostle Paul says, I can face whatever's waiting for me around the road, even though I don't have a clue what it is, because I know God's been faithful. And he says he's faithful to all generations. So I don't have to lose any sleep worrying about my babies, because God's faithful to all generations.
Amen.
Give the Lord some praise. Last verse, 2 Corinthians 1:11. You also must help us. Corinthians, you got a role to play in all this stuff. Other believers, you have a role to play in all this stuff. Victory Life Church, you have a part to play in all this stuff. You also must help us. You also must help us by prayer. Paul said, I mean, the Lord says, when you see Sister Nina going through it, you see Sister Gina going through it, you see Sister Dana going through it, you see Sister Bonnie going through it. He says, don't just say, well, that's just horrible. That's just absolutely horrible. All God's people said, that's just horrible. He says, don't, no. If you can physically do something, you physically do something. But he says, look here, the Apostle Paul says, you know what I need? I need your prayers, man. I need your prayers, man, because sometimes this junk is so crazy where I'm actually in despair. And I know I shouldn't be in despair, but you know what, man? Sometimes you get blindsided and you get knocked down so hard, man, it takes you a while to regroup sometimes, and you're just in a bad place. And I need you guys to pray for me right now. I need you to pray for me. Hold me up, man.
Yes.
Yes.
Hold one another up.
Yes.
As we go through whatever.
Yes.
You also must help us by prayer, so that many will give thanks on our behalf. He says, you pray for me, man, because I got a job to do. People are still counting on me, man. Doesn't matter what you're going through. God says, I got your back. And Paul says, I know God's got me, and I need you to lift me up. Because I got work to do, man.
Yes.
You also must help us by prayer so that many will give thanks on our behalf for the blessing granted us through the prayers of many. Paul said, the reason why I'm able to get through this is God. But I'm also able to get through this because you guys are saying, God, Paul needs you.
Amen.
Paul needs you, God.
Amen.
Father God, thank you.
Amen.
That your will be done in our homes, in our hearts, and in our land. Thank you that you're maturing us and growing us and that we're learning to rely on you and you are calling us into a deeper walk and we are being obedient to going deeper into our relationship with you, Lord. And we love you and praise you. In Jesus' wonderful, precious name we pray. Amen.